Welcome to the Defenders Podcast, the fan podcast about the Marvel Netflix series. I'm Claire.
I'm Mel.
I'm Matt.
And we have no Robin, because basically, listeners, what happened was, Robin was so excited that he finally had the character named after him in this week's episode of Jessica Jones, that he threw a big party last night, got a bit drunk, and is currently having a hangover. Isn't that right, guys? That's exactly it.
Yes.
Slander.
Robin's not here to defend himself. Doesn't matter. No, sadly, Robin could not make it because I have no concept of time and completely messed up our shooting? We're not the film. Our recording time this week. And it's completely my fault. So
Claire,
everyone is upset that Robin's not here. You need to blame me. Yes.
You just paid respect to Robin by saying Robin's not here to defend himself. Get it?
Oh.
There you go, Robin is here.
And we also have a very special guest this week with some, I need to think of some alliteration. You might know her from the Facebook group as the Wikipedia of Iron Fist, is what I'm naming you now. It's the Rampaging Rebecca! Yay!
I think after that, I think I probably might say random.
Hello, Rebecca. Hi. You really are the Wikipedia of Iron Fist and Luke Cage.
I have just reread every Iron Fist appearance in Marvel.
That is amazing.
Which gave me a new insight into Luke Cage, because I used to think that I wasn't that fond of Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And I kind of came out of this reread as an older person going, you know what, he's pretty cool. So it's kind of, you know, it's nice to be at that stage right now.
Is that because of his awesome tiara?
Well, yes. I think when I was a kid, I didn't really get some of that kind of blaxploitation stuff, which I'm sort of more aware of now. So before it was just like kind of, I don't understand this. And now it's kind of, yeah, it's cool.
Awesome. So you've obviously watched all of Jessica Jones, because you were actually watching it when I was watching it, but you were an hour ahead of me, which was quite funny because you kept teasing stuff to me and I was going,
I'm
no,
never
me.
Doing that again. It was far too hard not to say anything.
It was fun because you kept hinting at stuff and I was like, what? But yes, you've seen the entire series and obviously you know about the character of Jessica Jones and Iron Fist and Luke Cage, so you're quite a big Marvel fan.
I am a very big Marvel fan.
Awesome. Cool. So I should say any news this week before we start, but I don't really think there is. There was a little bit of news about Doctor Strange movie. Mads Mikkelsen is confirmed to be in it, but I don't think it's which character he is. I know you're mad about Mads, Mel.
Well, who isn't? I mean, come on.
It was very exciting news.
What if he just continues playing Hannibal in Doctor Strange?
Oh, so
that would be great. Oh.
I'm cool with that.
Did you just play like Hannibal forever? It was like I happened to see Casino Royale for the first time in ages the other day, and while he's walking around, all I can see is Hannibal. And he's a really good actor. Like, I love him and everything, but I'm just like, oh, Hannibal. Oh. It's like Hannibal with a dodgy eye. Hannibal with conjunctivitis. Oh,
I watched the Western he was in, and I was like, dude, why are they messing with Hannibal? Like, don't do it. And it's a big revenge movie as well, so he goes on a big rampage, and you're like, he might as well just be playing Hannibal.
Also, if he's in, like, with Doctor Strange, it's going to be Hannibal versus Sherlock. How cool is that?
They should just have a bromance. He should be, instead of Will Graham, his new bromance partner should be Doctor Strange.
They could have a Mind Palace bromance.
It'll be so good. It'll be so cute. Just them holding hands in their little mind palaces that are built next to each other.
Aww. What, are they holding hands through the window?
Across the garden fence. Across their mind palaces. there really hasn't been any more news. Oh, sorry?
I was going to say, we shouldn't have built these mind palaces so close together.
If you're going to build a mind palace, you need a mind moat around it as well. You know.
Yeah. I think the only other news is we've got Claire's mum being cast in Luke Cage.
Oh, yes. So Claire Temple's mum, the Claire Temple from Daredevil, her mum is apparently going to be a character in Luke Cage.
Sorry, I thought Rebecca was talking about your mum, Claire.
Yes, my mum is playing. My mum is playing.
That would be
awesome news. They got rid of Mike Coulter. They thought, this guy, he's really not great as Luke Cage. So they cast my mum, Viv, as Luke Cage. Viv LaFar is Luke Cage.
Aww.
And my cat will be Iron Fist.
Aww.
Yeah, but that's quite interesting, because I'm assuming she's going to be a, you know, that means that her mum will be quite a big part. I don't know.
You don't usually get people's moms in superhero shows.
That's true.
Yeah.
We didn't even get Daredevil's mom, apart from on the answer phone when Jack. And we don't get, oh, do we? Jessica's parents. I was going to say something, and then I thought, no, I won't.
Right.
The other news is that apparently soon, and I know Rebecca's very happy with this, apparently Jeff Loeb at Marvel has said that there will be Iron Fist news soon. So the news is that there will be news soon.
All right.
So that's exciting, because hopefully they will finally confirm who's playing Danny Rand, a.k.a. Iron Fist, because we've been waiting forever, and Rebecca has no nails left because she's bitten them all off.
It's absolutely true. Like, they are, at the moment, all gone.
So, this week, we are talking about episode 102, Crush Syndrome. And I'm going to introduce two new games for Matt, Mel and Robin this week. You guys ready?
Sure.
Well, I'll tell you the other one later, actually. But the first one is spot the episode's title in the episode, because for Jessica Jones, all the episode titles appear in the episodes. So, like, later when he's like, oh, his kidney, it's called Crush Syndrome, I went ding, 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 ding. Or I did this. So, wow. There you go. Look out for the title in the episodes.
Okay.
Well, you just spoiled the game this time.
Well, yeah, but, you know, next week you have, like, 11 other episodes, Matt.
Yeah, all right.
So get your own little bell, and then when we go through the episode title synopsis, you can also go... So we start off, Jessica is in the interrogation room at the police station. She's being interviewed about the death of the Schlottmans by Detective Clemens. I like this guy, Detective Clemens.
What do the cops think she could have possibly done wrong in this situation?
Well, in the comics as well, this is like a little nod to the comics. They're very, the cops are a bit suspicious of her because she's a former sort of superheroine. They don't necessarily know that in this show, but I think they're just a bit suspicious because, you know, she has unorthodox methods and...
She's a former superheroine?
Mm-hmm, in the comics.
Oh.
Maybe
she's
not
like
here.
Retired superhero?
Yeah, but yeah. Possibly not here.
I didn't know that.
She's a retired golf caddy in the show.
All right.
That was the first job I thought of. I don't know why.
Okay.
Golf caddy. But in the comics, she's a retired superhero.
Okay.
What was her superhero name again?
What
was her superhero name again?
She has a few. Do you want me to tell you?
Sure.
Okay, so she was known as the Nitrous, kind of very for a short time, and Jewel, which is her main one.
Jewel.
Yeah, the country singer.
I'm Googling images of...
Don't spoil Mel. She's a
Jessica
little eggling.
Superhero. I mean, she's seen it already.
I've seen the outfit.
You've seen photos of me wearing it.
Right. But there's a really funny photo of, like...
Luke Cage biting his knuckles.
We have to share it. It's hilarious. You've probably seen it, but it's great.
Have a look.
He's like,
why is he biting his knuckles? They're unbreakable. He wouldn't be able to eat them. Yeah. I've tried to eat myself, but I can't. Yum, 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 yum.
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, it's one of the covers. I know the one you mean. Yeah.
It's just funny in context of this past episode.
I think he more looks like he's suppressing a burp. Like, oh, that was that was some spicy chili.
It would have been a pizza.
Oh, would have been a pizza. They had extra pepperoni on his pizza now. Better out than in, I say. Christmas. The Detective Clements is presenting Jessica with some photos of Luke that she's taken, because he thinks that Luke may be involved, and Jessica's very pissed and defiant about this. So she goes to Luke's bar, obviously, I guess, to apologize, but sees that the police are already there questioning him.
So I assumed he was going to be a guest star, but he's like full cast member.
Well, we never see him again after this.
That's not true.
Isn't his name in the opening credits?
That is true. He's in this and the first episode, and then we never see him again. Do we, Rebecca? Wink.
I have no comment. I'm not getting drawn into that one.
I didn't understand how Jessica was like, she was like, when the cops were in there, she was standing right at the window, and she was like, oh my god, like, like, basically, she acted like, oh my god, I hope he doesn't see me. But she was right at the window. Hide behind, like, the brick wall or something.
When I was watching the episode for this, it's the second time I saw it, I was really like, I can't remember if he spots her or not. I'd be surprised if he doesn't, because she's standing right there. But
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Also, I guess if you removed him, there would be, like, no male cast members left, except for the purple man.
Oh, that's true.
All you need is Tennant. There's Malcolm, and there's also Reuben. Of Reuben and Robin, the creepy twins. So Jessica enters the bar to explain it to him. She tells him that she is a PI and was hired by the husband of the woman he's sleeping with. He's kind of surprised to find out that Gina is married, because he says he stays away from married women. And then he tells Jessica to stay away from him as well.
Why'd she lie about this, I wonder? And if she wasn't spying on him for that, then why? Ah!
She's hot!
Do you think that's why?
Do I? Well, I know the reason, so I'm not saying.
I feel like she suspects that he's a superhero. Like, okay. Her. Why else would she follow him? Like, it's creepy that you'd follow someone just because they're hot. It's creepy.
Isn't that how you and Matt got together? You were just, following him? Like,
yeah. No, I took it that way as well, because given the experience we even think she's had at this point from Kilgrave, I kind of figure she wouldn't go stalker. Just that he's sexy. It was just, but who knows? Because it can mess you up, so she could be. But I think it's one of the two things, either because he's hot or because she suspects something.
Yeah.
So then Jessica goes home and she showers and she ruminates on how she is safer alone while Kilgrave is around, and then she flicks a cockroach into the sink. And I didn't say who, again, I keep forgetting to say who wrote and directed the episode. I'm so sorry. So this was written by Micah Schraft and directed by last week's director as well, S.J. Clarkson. But I put a note here that I love the really awesome shot of her watching the little cockroach climb down the plug hole.
Yes.
That was really cool.
It was a pretty good CG cockroach.
It was. Like, it looked like I was really watching it going, yeah, it's really convincing. Maybe it was a real cockroach and Kim Manners from The X-Files yelled at it and it did follow directions. Because apparently if Kim Manners yells at cockroaches, they do whatever he wants. But she decides she's going to find out how Kilgrave cheated death. So then she, in the next scene, she visits Hope in jail to ask about Kilgrave, but doesn't get any answers. And we get a really creepy image where Hope asks her if she is any good at jumping, because Kilgrave made her jump for hours. I don't know why, that really creeped me out.
It was super creepy.
But like, ugh. Everything Hope says is like super creepy, like the actress. Yeah. Like, she also says another line in here, which might be someone's quote, I don't know, but it's so creepy, it's like, ugh.
Yep.
We already know she's very good at jumping.
Yes.
So where would the purple man get a superhero to jump where they wouldn't be, like, seen?
Why is he so obsessed with her jumping, too? Like,
bouncy.
He's like Super Mario Brothers, and then he does the little music while Jessica's jumping, like,
do-do-do-do-do-do-do-boing-boing. Yeah, it's just weird. He gets her to jump really high in the air, and then he places something underneath her for her hand on.
Like a mushroom. Yeah.
He's just like, and he films it, and he, like, in super slow-mo, and then he puts it on a YouTube channel.
and then he puts her in a little tanuki costume.
I don't understand. It's a little weird. It's a weird obsession. Jump higher.
I think probably the only thing the only thing that vaguely explains it is just that he could compare to Jessica. But yeah, it's a little bit random.
But did he make Jessica do that, I wonder? Like,
yeah, because he said to Hope that Hope was never as good as Jessica.
Well, that's the thing. Like, why would he make someone randomly jump like that? Like, if he did that to Jessica, too. Like, so random.
He's a big fan of the Van Halen song Jump.
Okay.
And the song Jump Jump by... Who was that by? Who was that band? Crisscross?
Jumper, yeah.
Crisscross will make you jump.
Yes, yeah.
Daddy Mac will make you.
There's also Jump Around.
Yeah, there is.
Jump up, and get down.
And his favourite movie is Jumper, starring Richardson. Oh, dear. So Hope blames Jessica because she left Kilgrave to die and rather than making sure. So basically Jessica acted like a Bond villain and just went, oh, yeah, dead, and then left him and didn't check that, like, he was dead. Which you think she would have, but obviously she was very traumatized at the time. She's so
getting out of there as soon as she could.
Yeah, as you would. You'd, like, run a mile. Now Kilgrave wants to make Jessica suffer just as he suffered. And then she tells Jessica that she should kill herself, but Jessica is the only one who knows that Hope is innocent.
Mm, creepy.
Yeah. You should kill yourself. Oh!
That was a great line, though.
Yeah, Erin Moriarty is, like, super creepy. As yeah. Like, with her smile last week as well, it's like, ah!
Yeah.
So then we cut to Jeryn's office. And Jeryn believes that Hope is guilty, and it was premeditated, and compares her to Patty Hearst. And then her assistant Pam tells her that Wendy is on the phone, but she says she's going to call back. I put a note that I love Pam's green dress. It's really pretty.
It is nice.
Yeah, I love those dresses. Mm. And Jeryn won't take the case, even though Jessica wants her to, because she doesn't represent losers. But Jessica says she can prove that Kilgrave exists.
Yeah, Jeryn's mean.
And how does Jeryn compare to Jeryn in the Iron Fist comics?
He's more of a bumbling business manager type in the comics. I think he's more paternal with Danny, but who knows? Who knows? He could have started off like this. He does do one dick move, so it's kind of in his personality, I guess, there somewhere.
Does he have a wife called Wendy?
No, I don't think so. Well, he does have a wife. I don't know what she's called. I didn't really concentrate on him too much. But he does this awful thing where he kind of sacks Colleen Misty company, yeah. And because he's got Heroes for Hire instead. And when Danny finds out, he gets very upset. And there's a really big showdown with Luke going, you played him against his woman. You know, that's not good. and that's the only really awful thing I can think of him doing. But he does, you know, like, but I mean, like, who knows? Like, we're just seeing the beginning of her character here as well.
Yeah. Jeryn is a lot meaner, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. She even says that
she may have had to be.
Yeah, exactly. She even says that if there really was a man who could influence people, then she would hire him to do all her jury selection. And I wrote, you don't need to hire Kilgrave, just get Kingpin, because he influenced all the jury selection for that case in Daredevil.
Yeah.
So if Jessica can prove that Kilgrave exists, Jeryn will represent Hope and Jessica will owe her a favour, which is said kind of really like, I'll owe you a favour. I don't know, it's really like, ooh, what kind of favour?
Yeah. She almost looked at her like, ooh, a sexual favour?
Yeah, that's what it would be.
I don't know, like, because, I don't know. It was...
Her eyes kind of went up, she's like,
I don't know. And then Pam says that Jeryn needs to call Wendy as Wendy knows about their affair. So what do you think is going to happen there, guys?
I don't know.
And you don't want to mess with Wendy because she is Calamity Jane.
Oh, is that who that was? That was her wife?
That's Jaren's wife, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about this, Matt.
Well, I saw her. I just couldn't remember who she was playing. I thought she was just somebody who worked for her.
No, they left together. Remember?
Nope. Well, then Jane's going to shoot this lady.
with an old-timey, like, Winchester rifle?
Yep.
I don't know. They just kind of barely, like... they barely talked about it this episode, so I was like,
we didn't even see.
I feel like we're not supposed to care about this that much.
Yeah, we didn't see her trying to explain herself.
Yeah. This was the next episode, maybe, but.
Okay.
I just didn't think it was a big deal.
But obviously, you guys are on Jane's side, Calamity Jane, aka Wendy.
Yeah. Sure.
Yay! She's awesome. then Jessica is on the street, she passes Trish's car. And she, Trish saw the news story and was worried as Jessica didn't answer her texts. So they go to Jessica's office. The door is still broken. Jessica gives Trisha back the cash that she owes her. Jessica wants to find Kilgrave, but Trish is worried and says that Jessica should move in with her, but Jessica is too paranoid as She is life-threatening to everyone around her. What do you guys think of their friendship?
What has she been on?
Who? Trish?
Yeah.
I've not seen her in anything, but apparently she was in Transformers? Is that right? One of the Transformer movies. Yeah.
She looks like, oh, jeez. I don't even know the actress's name. She was in Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, you mean, not Amy, Amy Poehler?
No, the girl that played the journalist.
The journalist who was pretending to be a...
Oh, Elizabeth Banks.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like Elizabeth Banks. She was in Transformers, the first Transformers movie. Let's have a look. And she was in Red Dog, which is an Australian film, because she's an Australian. A film called Shutter. Jessica Jones, The Loft, Crisis, 666 Park Avenue, Charlie's Angels TV series. I didn't even know there was a new TV series. 2011.
Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy, which might be mentioned later. Nothing jumping out at me as, like, a major role.
Mm.
Hercules as the Sphinx. Yeah, but that's it.
Interesting.
She looks familiar to me as well, but I don't recognise her from anything in particular. Mm. So Trish goes to leave, and then just as she's leaving, Jessica tells her that the door had the name Alias Investigations on it. She had it made special. So,
I don't know what that means to the, like, Alias Investigations.
Well, Alias was the name of the comic.
I think she's
just
I think she's just saying, I'm doing all right, look, I've even got my own, you know, I did it well. I got my business name on the glass.
I just don't know.
I didn't just write Ian Felton.
It wasn't just a plain piece of glass, you know.
I don't just live in the shin.
I'm making an effort, yeah, I'm not just a complete failure. You
know? Yeah. So in the next scene, Luke is in the bar with Gina, but he's kind of frosty to her because now he knows that she's married. She says her marriage is over. They don't even do oral anymore.
I thought that was great.
I was like, whoa, too much info.
I was like, that's such a random reason.
We hear all about Gina's sex life. I'm like, whoa.
They'll have regular sex, but no oral.
He tells her that Andre, her husband, hired a private investigator. And so she's really surprised by this and runs home. Although, because I'm, like, a bit deaf, to me it sounded like her husband was called Andrea. So I was like, so for a minute I thought that she also had a wife. So I was like, what's happening? And then I was like, oh, Andre. Oh, okay.
Awesome.
So back at Jessica's apartment, she gets a file of articles about the fatal bus crash that killed a woman called Reba Connors and examines them. There's more arguing upstairs and lots of loud crashing. Jessica heads to the apartment upstairs and passes Malcolm in the hall, who's also still really out of it again.
So, by the way, for someone that said, like, 5 minutes before that she was scared to turn around every corner, she didn't seem to be very scared here.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of expecting her to be more fearful after she said that of every corner she turned, because there was a lot of corners that she turned in this episode. She didn't seem
she should
to be...
hang, like, a little mirror and, like, a little mirror periscope and put it around each corner to see what happened first.
Yeah, I didn't sense any fear from her, which kind of, I was like, oh, that's,
I think she's probably met the neighbours before, and she knows that they kind of argue a lot, and she's probably, like, now she knows Kilgrave's back, she's sort of just had enough, really, so goes up to confront them.
Yeah.
So she's not really worried about them, but I think it would be at the back of her mind all the time that, you know, anyone could be being influenced by Kilgrave.
Yeah.
These two people were not who I was expecting to open the door.
So when they open the door, by the way, you can hear the woman yelling about salmonella, which was funny. We meet Reuben and Robin, the twins. I want to know your thoughts on the twins, including you, Rebecca, the first time you saw them.
I was just like, yeah, I think I was like, well, I wasn't expecting that. I was like, it's kind of maybe that's the comedy characters was kind of my, I know we're getting into this dark series and anyone who was like remotely funny the first time I saw them, I was like, maybe that's what they put them in for. But yeah, I spent a long time saying, why is he in his pants? Like, why is he just walking around in pants and then just sit for a while?
Did you guys assume then that these two were a couple? Like, I think the audience is meant to.
I expected a middle-aged couple, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I just expected a deadbeat couple. Like people that would be, like, you know, kind of haggard looking because they probably, like, smoke too much.
Like
and
the crack couple out of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's what I was expecting, the crack couple.
Okay.
And,
like, even though they ended up being what they ended up being, I still ended up wanting Jessica to kick that girl's ass.
Well, she does break down the door and hold Robin up by her neck. So
that was good enough.
No, it wasn't good enough because she was still just as much of a bitch later on.
Well, then she should have done it again.
I think she should. I didn't know why she didn't do it again. She kind of just gave her a lame insult.
She could hold her by the ankle outside the window.
I should have done that.
I want her to do that.
This is time for game number two. Are you ready?
Sure.
This is called Robin's Nickname Watch, because I can't think of a better name for it. But Robin has a tendency of calling lots of characters different nicknames. And we get the first example here where she calls Reuben Pooh Bear. So keep an eye out for her various nicknames for people.
Her brother's no better, though. He's kind of a creepo.
Aww.
He's a creepo.
Because he wears
I'm
giant
sorry.
Pants.
Sure.
They're so big, it looked like a diaper. I was like, what's happening?
I didn't even really why I obsessed over it. I was just like, what is he wearing?
Real.
I thought it was a diaper at first because Jessica accused them of doing kinky shit. And I was like,
Maybe that's what she said, because she also thought it was a diaper.
Maybe.
I think it's just really old underwear and the elastic band.
And also, he's cooking, and they're talking about salmonella. I was like, bleh, bleh.
Do you think his name is sewn into his underpants?
Oh, totally.
Yes. Yeah. Do you think his sister sewed?
Yes.
Like, she totally sewed his name. Like,
totally.
Yes.
Oh, so yeah, Pooh Bear, Reuben. Gross. Reuben and Robin. And, you know, Robin was asking for ages. Why isn't there a character in Daredevil called called Robin? Because there's a Claire and there's a Matt. Well, Robin, you have your wish. Mel, maybe you will get your wish later in the series. Although, obviously, we already have Madame Melanie Gao, the most awesome character ever.
Melanie Gao?
Yeah, Madame Melanie Gao.
No.
I wouldn't lie to you about that, Mel.
Yeah, we can stay there. I don't need another character named after me. Yeah.
If there's a character that turns up in the next episode called Mel, that would be pretty awesome. We'll have characters named after us.
Yeah, pretty fun.
So Jessica goes back to her apartment and looks at the article again about Reva Connors. Then we go into a flashback. Jessica has her hands covered in blood and Kilgrave is yelling at Jessica to come back. We see a bus approaching, which honks its horn, tumbles over and hits Kilgrave. So what do you guys think is going on then?
I was confused as to why she wasn't coming back when he told her to.
Yeah, and he says, now, working? Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
She's got earplugs in, and she's like, la, 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 I can't hear you. Maybe we'll find out more later. So Jessica has gone to the spot where this bus crash happened, and she goes and speaks to a Polish mechanic about where someone would be taken if there was an accident, and he says, go to Metro General, it's the nearest hospital.
That's confusing.
So she goes and sneaks in. Why were you confused?
Because she's asking him, which hospital is the closest? And she could have just pulled out her phone and said, Google, where is the closest hospital?
But maybe it's so she can go and talk to a Polish mechanic. It's a very
the Marvel Universe aren't very good with that kind of technology yet, though.
How do you know, Mel, that the Polish mechanic isn't going to be a recurring character and comes back later as the supervillain Stiltman?
I don't know.
There you go.
I know nothing. I know nothing about this world, I guess.
Well, this was a cool bit in the next scene, and I only caught it because I was watching it with subtitles, which was when she's in the hospital after she snuck in, we overhear a conversation between some police and one of the people who work at the hospital, and the police are saying, I don't see that, the person in the hospital says, I don't see that guy's name. The police officer says, take another look, name's Wilson, just take a look for me, all right, it must be there. I was like, is that like a reference to Wilson Fisk?
That's what I noticed too, yeah.
I was like, I never noticed that the first time, and I was like, oh! What would you do if he was in the hospital as well?
Isn't the Falcon also named Wilson?
He's Sam Wilson, so that's true. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Oh, maybe if Jessica, like, opened the curtain of one of the beds and, like, Anthony Mackie's just lying there with a broken leg, but in his full Falcon costume.
No, he's got a broken wing. He's got a broken leg.
Oh, he's got his wing in a splint. That would be adorable.
His body's fine. He's just got a broken wing and he's in the hospital bed.
Oh, and Cap's there, like, sitting by his hospital bed.
Holding his hand and crying. Holding his hand.
That would be adorable. So Jessica starts to go through the lockers and ignores a call from Trish. I love that she just goes through the lockers and just breaking the locks. And ends up stealing the scrubs from Cat Lady's locker.
Oh my god, the best picture on that locker was of the dude with the cat that was like, all spazzed out.
It was all pictures of cats, and then there's just one of the guy holding two cats like, eee!
It was adorable! I love it.
And then she kind of pulls a face at the scrubs, and we cut to the reason why, because they are pink and kind of covered in hearts and stuff.
I'm pretty sure my mom wears scrubs like that. Aww. She works in a retirement.
Does she have lots of pictures of cats in her locker, and like a picture of you and Matt hugging your cats going, eee?
No, not at all. I doubt it sincerely.
So Jessica tries to use the computer terminal but gets stuck and asks another nurse for help. And we get two references in this, a reference to Dr. Carter, which is, I guess, a reference to ER. I don't know his first name in ER. I just know he was Dr. Carter, played by Noah Wiley. Anyone know his first name in it? Or was his first name Carter? I don't know.
No, his surname was Carter, but it's far too long ago for me to remember.
Dr. Blank Carter. Dr. Something Carter. And also the hospital Seattle Grace. My sister would have cheered and punched the air at that point because she's a big fan of Grey's Anatomy.
That's funny.
I didn't know what the reference was.
Yeah, me neither. I knew it was a reference to some TV, but I didn't know.
I only knew it was a reference to Grey's Anatomy because my sister is obsessed with Grey's Anatomy and tells me everything about it. So... the only thing that would possibly make me consider watching Grey's Anatomy is that at one point there is a ghost in it, and that is canon, and it's the ghost of Jeffrey Dean Morgan, which I think is amazing. I was like, I love the fact that there are ghosts in Grey's Anatomy, but I still wouldn't watch it. So, on the computer, under the date of January the 20th, she sees that the bus driver, Charles Wallace, the bus driver, Charles Wallace, had some cuts and bruises, and Reva Connors was dead on arrival, but there was no John Doe listed, so there's no information on Kilgrave. And Jessica does a little printout of the file.
So, this Reva, was she a passenger on the bus, or what?
I'm not saying.
Oh.
Why do you possibly think I'm going to say anything, Matt?
I didn't think that would matter.
It's the most important thing of all.
Okay.
You, like, sniffed in derision then, like, well. Nope. I don't know how much we can say, Rebecca. What do you think?
I find it hard to discuss Reva at all in this context. I think obviously it's very important what happened to her.
To Jessica.
Oh, okay.
And you can assume that means it will get explained.
Mm-hmm. Something that isn't explained is why the blood on the ceiling of the elevator still hasn't been cleaned from the murder of the Schlottmans, because Jessica gets in the elevator and there's still blood on the ceiling, which is really gross. Like, why has that been cleaned? It's horrible.
They forgot about it. They didn't look up.
Whoever cleaned up,
educated.
Yeah, whoever cleaned up had issues with their neck. They're wearing a neck brace. They couldn't look up.
It was a team of dogs, and as we learn from Shaun of the Dead, dogs can't look up.
And they licked it, please?
No, dogs can't look up, according to Shaun of the Dead.
Okay. I wondered where you were going with that. Like the cleaning division of dogs.
Yeah, the cleaning division of dogs can't look up. So she's approaching her apartment and hears a lot of noises. So she runs to the apartment and finds a man, and she kind of beats him up a bit and he hurts his leg. But it turns out that he was sent by Trish to fix her door, which is sweet of Trish. But yeah, don't send people to Jess's apartment without telling her.
Yeah.
Well, she did ring.
That's true. She did ring. Yes. And Jessica ignored her.
Yeah.
That's true. So Trish and Jessica talk on the phone. Trish says she'll pay for the medical care for the guy. Jess pleads with her to leave her alone. And then we see that Trish is in the studio where she works. And as some people enter, she's told to cover up because she has bruises all over her arms. This was the point where I messaged Rebecca and was like, oh, does Trish have leukemia? Because for some reason that was where my mind immediately went to. So what did you guys think? Oh, you thought the same? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
No.
I thought she was really ill, particularly later when she has the nosebleed.
I thought earlier on when Jess was talking to her and she said something like, has your mum been back in touch? I assumed her mum was beating her up.
Maybe.
I don't know. I guess I was just on the abuse. I don't know. I just kind of thought because it's becoming a theme, maybe we're seeing another form of abuse here. I didn't go to the leukemia thing even.
Maybe
though.
It's because we were literally we were just hearing about Grey's Anatomy, and for some reason I was like,
yeah.
I don't know. And also, whenever you get like a nosebleed, like later in shows, it's usually like shortcut for brain tumor, you know?
Yeah, they're dying.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's.
I thought she was either sick or that. Purple Man had a hold of her secretly.
Oh, that would have,
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Maybe that is.
But obviously that wasn't the case.
It might be.
I want Jeff hasn't held her by the shoulders or anything recently, has she?
No, maybe. She's like, ah, you bruised me.
Yeah.
That might have been it.
Jess tells Trish that she is turning into her mother, which Trish says is a very low blow. So maybe we'll find more about that. As I mentioned last week in the Easter eggs, there is this history of the mother of Patsy Walker being a character who kind of wrote stories about Patsy's life in the comics as this kind of like childhood icon. So then in the next scene, Reuben appears and chats to Jessica and apologizes for the noise. And we find out that Reuben and Robin are actually twins, which is kind of even more creepier than if they were a couple.
Yeah. Why are you guys living together as a couple?
No idea. Oh, you come back. Cool.
Yeah.
I said, why are they living together as adults?
And I said, why are they fighting as a couple? Yeah. Like a couple.
Why are they arguing about salmonella? Like, yeah. I don't know. Why is he in his pants?
Why is he in his underpants? I don't know.
Why do they look nothing alike and one is 2 foot taller than the other and they're twins? I don't know.
Because they can't be identical if they're male, female.
That's true.
And he points out that they're fraternal twins.
That's
as well.
True.
They're fraternal, yeah.
So, do you think...
As if to say, it's all right. It's all right because we're not actually from the same egg.
Yeah, we're fraternal. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
And Jess sees the ambulance number as the sign man gets driven away. So, in the next scene, Jess is on the subway near 42nd Street, and she starts getting flashbacks. And I get flashbacks to my summer in New York as well, because I went on the subway, and I was like, oh, I wish I was in New York. And we get Kilgrave yelling in her ear, come back here! And Jess lashes out and breaks the window.
That made me really sad for her.
Yeah, it's horrible. And everyone's, like, whispering about her and looking at her, and she repeats these street names to try and calm herself down.
I know, it was really sad.
Yeah, but it's like... It's horrible that she just keeps getting this, and it's seemingly out of nowhere as well. And also the lighting goes all purple when it happens, which I really like the consistency of that. Mm. So then Jessica, talking about scenes that make you sad, Jessica visits a house to visit Jack Denton, who was the driver of the other ambulance that night and had gone AWOL after the accident. She'd found out that he was denied workers' comp because he stole the ambulance. We meet Jack and Jack's mother, and Jack's mother is the worst.
Yep.
Ugh. So we find that Jack is on a dialysis machine because he had a stroke due to the shock after voluntarily donating both of his kidneys, and then was found in an alleyway half dead. So this is creepy because, like, he basically
Kilgrave. But who donated that machine?
So
or was it
what it sounds like is Kilgrave forced the doctor to take the kidneys, and he forced Jack to donate his kidneys willingly. And then the doctor, they obviously know what happened to them, and the doctor feels so bad that he did this that he donated the machine to Jack.
Okay, all right. At first I was like, did the Purple Man donate that machine?
He's not that nice.
That's what I...
It would be painted purple if he did. he's not that nice. He wouldn't care. He just dumped him in an alley. I mean, he's not going to care if this guy dies. But this poor guy, oh my God. And his mum is... The worst thing is his mum is convinced that this was God that did it because she was praying for Jack to come back to her. And her prayers were answered, just not in the way she thought.
Gross.
It's so horrible. And I usually, one of my notes is, I usually find it as a bit of a cliche when you find, you know, where people are in a situation where they can't talk and they're really suffering and they write, kill me, you know, or they say, kill me. I'm thinking of like Alien Resurrection with all the Ripley clones. And it's like, kill me type thing. But I actually like the way it was used in this, where Jessica's talking to Jack and he writes K-I-L and she and the audience, I think, are like, oh, he's writing Kilgrave. But no, it's actually kill me. I thought that was quite well that was done.
Yeah.
And she tells him she can't and he just kind of looks at her pleadingly and she leaves. And I was like, oh my God. Oh,
well, why you, I was like, why did you kill that guy?
Why do you think she said no to this one? Because like, I don't know, she strikes, I have my own, I think I know why I think she didn't do it.
Why do you think?
I thought that was kind of interesting because I think she's the kind of character who probably would.
Well, I think because the mum's right there, you know, and...
I'm hoping that she comes back and does it.
Maybe. Are your reasons for why she didn't spoilery, Rebecca?
No, this isn't going to be spoilery. But, like, the reason why I think she may not have done it is because she's very focused on finding Kilgrave.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure that if she did it, or maybe she's worried that if she did it, he'd find out and know how close she was getting to him.
Yeah, possibly.
I mean, that was the only reason I could think that I could not... kind of defend her not doing it. I mean, I know the mother was right there and blah blah blah, but Jessica to me seems like the kind of person who doesn't really care. If something's right, she'll do it.
She's also, I think, so horrified by this, she's not really thinking. She just wants to get as far away from there as possible, which is probably what I would do. I'd just be like, oh, because it's pretty horrible.
I would have punched right through his chest.
Whoa.
No, I wouldn't have done that.
You would have punched him out of the series.
You'd only have to turn off the dialysis machine.
Well, his mother just would have turned it right back on.
Yeah, but I just wonder how many times he's written that to his mother, and his mother has basically just shrugged it off because she's in denial about the whole thing and is like, oh, it's God that brought you back, and, you know, it's just, oh, it's horrible. It's so sad.
What did you say?
So Jessica has taken a photo of the machine. She finds out it's a Baxter hemodialysis machine. She has a serial number. So she asks, I'm assuming the manufacturer on the phone for details about who was the donor of the machine. Robin and Reuben pass her in the corridor, and she gets another name, which is Cougar. Hands off my brother, Cougar.
Yes, bitch.
So do you think Jessica's after Reuben? Do you think that they'll end up together happily ever after?
Please no.
Hell yeah.
He's obviously got a crush on her now.
Yeah. I don't know, you know. They gave each other a look. There was chemistry in that look, guys.
No.
Jessica arrives home and feels like she's being watched for a moment before she goes in the door. There's a knock at the door and it is Gina. And she tells Jessica that Andre didn't hire her, so she wants to know who did hire her. And then she says, well, it must be that you're stalking Luke because you want to thin out the competition. But now Andre knows that she has been sleeping with Luke and is heading to the bar to kick Luke's butt with his rugby team. I wrote butt. I think she said ass. But it sounds bad if I say ass because I say ass because I'm English. It doesn't sound right.
Ass.
Oh, her ass.
Yeah, I find it hard to say and my husband finds it hard to say the British way.
Ass. Ass. I don't know. So I just put butt. So Jessica runs to the bar and the men are already picking a fight. Talk me through the scene, guys, because I think, didn't you say, Rebecca, this was the first time you cheered watching the show?
I almost screamed. I was so happy to watch them fight. It was the most bored fight ever. It was like, it was perfect. It was just like, he was bored. He was like, get off me, you little flies. Jessica gets in. She was like, nah, it was like they were eye rolling while fighting.
And Luke even does eye roll at one point when the guy like breaks the bottle on the back of his head and Luke just rolls his eyes and is like, ugh. And the way that he's literally just swatting the guys away with his hand, like lazy little slaps.
You know, we confirm he knows what his power is, and, you know, we already know that Jessica knows she's strong, so, but it's just that you can watch them watching each other as well. Mm-hmm. It's beautifully shot.
Yeah, it is.
Because they're watching each other, they're obviously not expending very much energy at all during this fight, and they're taking out big guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's our first team up.
What did you guys think, Matt and Mel, of this fight scene, like compared to other fight scenes we've had?
Hard to see.
It was neat. It was neat that they had no challenge, unlike Daredevil, who would have had a little bit of a challenge with this.
Daredevil would have had to have been off for the next episode, recovering.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have been recovering.
Yeah.
But yeah, that guy straight up tried to murder Luke Cage.
Yeah, he goes to stab him in the neck and the knife breaks. It's great.
Well, the bottle, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, the bottle, but also a guy goes to stab him in the neck, and then I think it's with the knife, and the knife breaks or bends or something.
Oh, I thought he got stabbed in the neck with the bottle.
At the end he did.
Oh,
the very last thing.
Oh, it was the bottle then. Oh, okay. Yeah. So in the end, Andre and the men leave. Oh, also Jessica throws a man over the bar, which was great. And then Luke tells Jessica to leave as well. In the next scene, Jessica wakes up and the phone is ringing and she has info on the machine. It was leased by Dr. David Kurata. She goes and tracks him down to a college where he is teaching. She sits at the back. Did you expect Dan Stevens to appear and for them to do a little meet cute and her to show her fangs and him to go, oh, I love you, Cor Blimey. Oh, Mr. Van Helsing.
No.
Like in the film Vamps.
No.
Oh, okay.
Didn't even cross my mind.
Just me then. So she sits in the back and then as soon as Dr. Kurata sees her, he runs out and Jessica chases him.
That was funny.
Also, I love the fact that Jessica is running in flat heels. I was like, yes, yes. If you're going to be chasing people, you don't wear heels. This is why I like Olivia Dunham from Fringe. She wears sensible shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I hate it when people make the characters wear heels and they're, like, very active. It's stupid.
I'm just going to mention something from USA Network show Characters Welcome, whatever it's called, Covert Affairs, where they're in the CIA, and Piper Perabo in that is a CIA agent and runs around wearing, like, four-inch heel Christian Louboutins. And I was like, no, that's not happening.
That's the worst.
Yeah. Get some nice flat shoes. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Agreed. Jessica chases Dr. Kurata into the basement, and the lighting is all purple, so we're like, ooh. Mm. He used to be a transplant doctor who forged Kilgrave's death certificate. He also mentions that Kilgrave had pictures of Jessica everywhere and was obsessed with her.
Creepy.
And he obviously feels bad about what happened. And this is where we get the title of the episode. One of Kilgrave's kidneys was destroyed, the other was damaged. It's called Crush Syndrome. and he says that Kilgrave will need new kidneys in a couple of years. He went through 10 hours surgery with just an epidural, didn't want to be unconscious. That is horrifying because
that is
like proper, you know, anatomical surgery. You're getting his innards on the outside. Ugh. And he's sitting watching the whole thing. I was like, no.
They might have put like when they do like a C-section, kind of put like a drape.
Oh, a little drape.
Maybe they did that.
As long as it was a little drape. He would have insisted on it. Purple only. So this gives Jessica an idea that basically drugs to make you unconscious, like propofol or fentanyl, affect parts of the brain that aren't shut down by sleep. So Jessica's like, ha, you will be my witness and you'll prove Kilgrave's existence to Hogarth. Now she knows she's going to go after these drugs to try and stop Kilgrave. Jerin visits Hope in prison and agrees to represent her. And Jerin doesn't seem to realise that Jessica was also a victim of Kilgrave. Did you guys feel that?
Yeah, she gave a little face.
When Hope says, like, oh, there's others besides Jessica.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if she... I thought maybe she didn't know. She seemed like she reacted oddly to it, but she moved past it pretty quick, so I wasn't sure if she knew or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her reaction... Sometimes her reactions are hard to read, like Jerin, because she doesn't really... I don't know. She's got a lot going on, I think, under the surface.
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's very, very professional, though, even though she's having personal problems and stuff.
Mm.
She's very composed. I just can't get over that.
She's incredibly composed.
She's a cool cucumber.
Yeah.
Cool as a cucumber, I should say. Not she's a cool cucumber.
She might be.
So Jessica is tidying the file away and looks at the names of the drugs that she's written down and then sees a package on the floor which contains her new alias investigation sign. Yay! Then she phones Trish and they kind of make up. And Trish says, I don't need your protection. I don't want it. And then she has a nosebleed. And she has to go because she's in the middle of yoga, but her yoga is apparently disarming a gunman.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on there? Do you think she's also a vigilante?
No, she probably had dealings with the Purple Man too, I guess.
Possibly.
I think so, just because they both know about it and they're both
kind of coping in their own ways.
No wonder.
Maybe she knows. Sorry. I'm going to say, I think maybe she knows she doesn't have the power, so she needs every advantage she can have.
Mm-hmm. So she's doing it in just a case of self-defense.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense, too, that their friendship would have kind of taken a turn after something like that happened, right? Like, it would really mess up your friendship.
And also, like Trish says, that Jessica didn't speak to her for months, you know. Jessica kind of vanished and stopped taking calls and things like that, you know. But
probably every time she sees Trish, it probably reminds her of that whole time. And she wants to forget about it.
So in the next scene, we get the best look we have had so far of David Tennant in this, and we still don't really see his face.
Still just the back of his head, isn't it? Or
he's got funny looking ears.
Aww. But it's like the first time we saw the Kingpin and we saw the back of his head. That was the first time we saw him as well. So Kilgrave approaches the apartment. Hang on, what's funny about his ears?
they're kind of S-shaped. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. They're funny.
Aww.
They made me laugh.
Aww.
I was like, haha, look at his ears.
He approaches the apartment and we get the scene of him saying this great line of, you'd like to invite me in? And the guy says, absolutely.
So creepy.
Yeah. And did you see the colour of the car that he stamps on?
Yeah.
He's like, purple car, meh.
I thought purple was his friend.
Purple was like his favorite color, but he just stamps on the little purple car.
What he should have done was gotten down on the carpet and started playing with the car.
Whee!
It's purple. I love it. It's mine now.
I think the creepiest bit of this is that he tells the kids to get in the closet and she says that she needs to pee. But he's like, oh, pee in the closet. And then we see that she has. I was like, oh.
And then he locks the door. He locks the closet door. It's so creepy.
And he sharpens the knife at the table.
And he's like, you guys better be good cooks. And then he sharpens the knife. That is creepy.
Yeah.
So is this just, I was wondering if these people live across the street from Jessica, or if this is just how he gets around. He does this every night.
He says
a different
he's going to be a guest indefinitely. So.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
So not just like for the night, you know, he just goes around from house to house. So.
How does he pick people though? Like if it isn't across the street from Jessica's, like I'm wondering how he picks people.
Maybe he picks the house.
Maybe.
I quite like that one.
Yeah, he just like maybe like if you had that power and you were a like Mel, if you had that power and you were obviously a psychopath, which you're not. If it was me, I would go and pick the nicest houses and just like the nicest things, you know, and just live the high life. And they look like they live in quite a nice apartment. And it's also in Manhattan,
But you'd think that if he doesn't like children, he would have picked a childless couple, because I'm sure there's plenty of those.
True,
you know?
But then he just tells them to go and be quiet and not say anything. You can't see them or hear them, so.
They're going to starve to death in that closet, aren't they?
In the next episode, we do see Jessica opens the closet and there's just two little skeletons sitting in there.
Oh.
One with one so little pee-stained trousers on. That's dark, I'm sorry.
They're gonna turn into those twins.
This is their origin story.
Maybe they had an encounter with the Purple Man and that's why they're so messed up.
Maybe. Purple Man said to Reuben, you will always just wear your underwear. Reuben's like, I will. Always wear.
And I will have an unnatural relationship with my sister.
Yeah, and then they said to Robin, you will call everyone a nickname, and she went, yes, I will call everyone a nickname. So in the next scene, Jessica's brushing her teeth. She sees the little cockroach again, but this time she doesn't just flick it, she squashes him. She knows Kilgrave's weakness. Game on! Yeah!
I know his weakness, it's being crushed.
I crush you with my thumb.
Crush syndrome.
Yeah. Game on!
Cockroach.
So do you think the last words in this series are going to be game over, like in a Saw movie, and then we're going to get the Saw theme play?
Yes. So
in the next scene, I think this was the time where I also cheered in this scene. Luke is in Jessica's bedroom, and he says that he saw her and she saw him. And then he randomly pulls out a power saw and saws his stomach! And the saw sparks and breaks. Jessica puts her hand on his tummy, and he says, you can't fix me. I'm unbreakable. And Jessica goes, and then the episode ends.
And then she's like, I love that movie.
Well, Robin said that I had to mention that the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I've never seen it. Oh, so there you go, Robin. Luke Cage is the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I don't know what that means.
It's an amazing show, and you should watch it, and it's on Netflix.
I have to. It's very funny. Have not enough time watching Jessica Jones and the X-Files.
Yes, but for everyone else out there who has time, yes, it's a very good show.
Cool.
But I'm not going to sing the theme tune.
I want to know what it is now. I'm going to have to just watch the theme tune.
It repeats Unbreakable an awful lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Someone will have to do a video of Luke Cage, like clips with that song playing.
Yeah.
So what did you guys think when he whipped out, like, particularly you, Mel, who doesn't know that much about Luke Cage, when he whipped out the power saw and started sawing his tummy?
Well, I already realized that he was invincible. Just invincible because of that bar fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, not that shocked. And I was like, Jessica should know because she saw him fight at that bar fight. And I don't know why she was like... I was like, why?
I think she was just gasping at his really toned stomach. She was like,
yeah, she was like,
it's like marble, it's too small.
She should know that already. She had sex with him.
But she may not be looking at the abs. It was, you know, she wasn't looking at him. He was on top of her, you know, and it was from behind. It was from behind, Mel.
No, but they were like face to face at
first. Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Mm. But she probably wasn't concentrating on his abs, to be fair.
Maybe they were just blurry.
She didn't have to see them through the nice tight...
She was fairly drunk as well.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Blurry abs.
You're like a marble statue. So, are you guys ready for this week's Easter egg?
I'm very hungry.
Chocolatey goodness. Are you ready? I've just eaten a chocolate-covered cranberry, so that's my chocolate for the week. But here is yours.
I can't wait.
Okay, so the detective doing the interrogation at the start is Oscar Ozzy Clemons, who is a character from a few issues of The Punisher, which started in 2011's Volume 8, Issue Number 1. Which is kind of cool, because we've had a few little really obscure references to The Punisher. Like, this one is quite obscure, because apparently he's only in a few issues. And in Daredevil, we had, in the final episode, one of the trucks that Kingpin gets away in had a really random reference to a Punisher issue as well. So it kind of shows that these guys are all Punisher fans, and it might also be them going, nudge, nudge, Punisher's coming, nudge, nudge. So that's quite cool. So I'm sure that Rebecca can expand upon this Easter egg. Luke Cage was created in 1972 by Archie Goodwin and John Romita Sr. Just a note from Matt and Mel, John Romita Jr. was the artist who did the artwork in The Man Without Fear graphic novel, which we reviewed for Daredevil. John Romita Sr. is his dad, who also did artwork for Daredevil. And I've written Luke Cage's original costume included a tiara. Yay!
It did. Aww. And a silk yellow shirt quite often.
Yeah.
Definitely a yellow shirt.
And he had like little wristbands, didn't he? Like little gauntlets.
Yeah, wristbands and a like big necklace. And
did he call everyone sucker?
He used every kind of... He used all sorts of language that was very similar to that. I don't think that's a recurring thing, but there's just a lot of the stuff he says is very sort of blaxploitation.
Oh.
There's even, there's a team-up episode with a couple of issues with him and Deadpool, and obviously Iron Fist, which I think even the cover's called Jive Talking Something, whatever. It's a very, very good... two-issue arc where they start off in the 60s and then jump to the current day. So you get to see like pimped out Deadpool.
Oh, nice! I would love to see someone cosplay as pimped out Deadpool. That would be amazing.
It's really awesome, and then you get like Danny in the telling the kids he's teaching not to answer phone calls from Deadpool.
That's a life lesson. All our listeners, never answer a phone call if it's Deadpool on the other end.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It will not end well. So I have another little Easter egg here about Reva Connors, but I'm not going to tell you guys that yet. I will tell you that later. And then,
yeah, I think that's why I'm also not going to say anything about Luke Cage.
Yeah.
This shows all we need to know about Luke Cage right now.
Cool.
Except there is one thing. I don't think this is spoilery.
That's okay.
But I thought they were very careful in the writing with this episode to show, and this is specifically from this episode, that he was very uncomfortable with police attention.
Mm-hmm. And says he doesn't do drama.
He doesn't do drama. He doesn't want the police around. And that might also indicate... There's two reasons why you might not want to get involved with married women. One is a moral one, but he's kind of sleeping around a bit, so, you know, presumably. But the second one is that he might not want the complications, and that might be important in his backstory.
I like how you guys say he doesn't like police because he doesn't like drama, and now I'm just picturing him being arrested and him being like, oh, you guys are so dramatic, as they're putting him into the car.
Don't do this like drama.
And I've got one last little Easter egg. These are all from denofgeek.com, as I mentioned before. And this one is apparently, they don't think it's a specific Easter egg, like it was on purpose, but it's quite a cool little geeky reference. So the dialysis machine, is the make of it is Baxter. That is a real hospital equipment company. However, if you, someone who is obviously a very, very big Patsy Walker Hellcat fan, made the point that Robert Baxter was a childhood friend of Patsy Walker and actually ended up marrying her. And after that, many years later, became the villain Mad Dog. So that would be quite cool if that was on purpose, but I don't think it is.
There's also the Baxter
building. There's also the Baxter building, yes, in Fantastic Four. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So there are your Easter eggs. Nom nom nom. Not as many as last week, because I don't want to make you have stomach aches.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, do we want to do quotes? Does anyone have any quotes for this episode?
I have a couple.
Yay! Go for it, Mel.
We don't even do oral anymore.
Weird thing to say. It's like,
it's very weird.
And then afterwards, Luke's like, I don't want to hear.
I don't want to know.
I think he had the audience reaction of, yeah, I don't do
Matt, do you have any ones?
All I've got is, I have a great Filipino woman who will walk all over your back.
Which is funny, because the one that stood out to me was, massages make me tense. Because it's something I think I've actually said to someone before. Or something very similar to that. So I was like, yeah, go, Jess.
I love massage. I'm going to have one next week, hopefully.
Nice.
Yeah. Mel, do you want to do your other one?
Cordon bleu is French for chicken. No, it isn't.
He's Ruben's like, why don't we ask her? And then Robin's like, because she clearly doesn't understand jack about cordon bleu, it French chicken. I love Robin, she's awesome.
Yeah.
I have one that took place just before that, which is when Jess passes Malcolm, and he says, is that real or just in my head? Both. Poor Malcolm. Do you have any, Rebecca?
Just the massages make me tense, and of course I'm unbreakable.
I have a little sad one as well. Yeah, the unbreakable was awesome. A little sad one later is, what have you got to lose? My mind.
That was a bit overdramatic. Yeah.
And I have another one which I really laughed at, which is where Jack's mum says to Jess, pray with us, and Jess says, nah, I'm just getting over a cold. I don't know why that really made me laugh.
Would you pray with us? No, I've got some videotapes to return.
I'm washing my hair. Okay, so with feedback this week, we have a voicemail and two emails. First email is from Heidi, last week's guest. Mel, do you want to read that one?
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
I don't think Heidi talks like that. Hey, guys.
Not a valley girl.
Hey, guys. In the last episode, I thought Jessica was just going to walk away from that crime scene. But here, we see her being questioned. It wouldn't have made sense otherwise.
Mm-hmm. True. I agree.
I like the scene of her voice-overing and flicking the cockroach off the wall. True. So,
justified by Mel.
Yes, I'm going to, like, say true or false to each of these paragraphs. So, Kilgrave isn't just moving on to the next girl. He is using Hope to get Jessica. Interesting. Mm. True. Okay, I'll stop. Trish and Jessica were best friends, and maybe more? Oh. I'm not sure yet. Trish doesn't like that Jessica's door doesn't lock either, but she goes so far as to send a repairman. Is she suggesting that Trish and Jessica were in a relationship?
I don't know, maybe. Mm. Relationship.
Yeah. like a romantic relationship.
I think a few people think that that's into that.
Mm.
Hmm. Yeah, it could well, be
Robin did think that Trish was also having a relationship with Jaren, so at first.
Yeah.
Okay, so did my husband, briefly.
All right. I'm starting to think that neighbors were some kind of smokescreen for Kilgrave until Jessica went and held the woman by the throat. Oh, wow. They're brother and sister? True. I heard David Tennant, but will we see him this episode? Being a PI is definitely helped with super strength. It's traditional to have questionable morals, but someone like Veronica Mars was held back by her tiny physique in some situations. I don't know about that. I don't know about Veronica Mars.
Veronica Mars is, like, Kristen Bell who plays Veronica Mars is teeny tiny. She's a tiny person.
So, okay, so she does have, like, issues like that. Does she have superpowers, though, at all?
Veronica Mars, no. She just has the superpower of being very savvy and snarky.
Okay. Jessica pretending to be a nurse was fun. I'm not sure how convincing she was, but it worked. And she watches Grey's Anatomy enough to know the name of the hospital. I love it when the professor takes off running in the middle of his lecture. It was unexpected and made me chuckle. Things aren't going to end well for this guy. I'm having flashbacks to Ben in Daredevil.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, probably.
You think Kingpin's going to come and hunt him down?
Yes, yeah, that's what's going to happen. Kingpin's going to get involved. Kingpin and Purple Man are best buds.
Oh.
You know.
Would you like to see all the Marvel villains hanging out at, like, dinner? Like, Loki, Purple Man...
you know,
Ultra,
they have
Kingpin.
Purple Man and Kingpin are both like gourmets, you know. They both like
that's true.
Fancy food and
they should hang out with Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, they should. Like an awesome trio.
You can make a really nice Zupa Inglesi.
That'd be great. I agree. Yoga is not exercising, it's stretching. False. Sorry for using a quote, but that's probably not anyone's. What exactly is Trish doing? Scary David Tennant is scary, and Luke Cage is hot. Until next time, Heidi, sent from my iPhone, sent from my iPhone, sent from my iPhone.
We know it was sent from Heidi's iPhone. Thank you, Heidi. Thanks, Heidi. We have an email from our competition winner, Dan Wilson. Do you want to read that, Rebecca? You don't have to. We do make our guests work for their hard
blimey,
work.
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to put it in. It's quite short. I'm going to put it in the Skype window. And
it's just testing if I can read.
It starts with, I'm loving the show so far.
Yes, okay. I'm loving the show so far. I'm also on issue 13 of Alias and loving that series as well. Robin said he was going to try to stop with the Veronica Mars references, but for my part, I have to mention it. I get very strong Veronica Mars resonance from Jessica's determination, resourcefulness, and mental and emotional toughness. She doesn't crack as many jokes as Veronica, but many of her character traits in combination with her choice of profession make this feel like a darker, more grown-up version of that show.
Well, I'm going to step in for Mel and say, true.
I'll agree as well. Very true. I'm glad the superpowers are being given a light touch so far, because for the most part, the show feels very grounded and real. I hope it can maintain that tone as the story unfolds. I'm glad, for instance, that Jessica, Luke, and Kilgrave aren't running around in colourful tights and capes. Indeed, Luke and Jessica seem to go out of their way to avoid advertising their powers and only seem to bring them out in critical moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jessica, I always thought yoga was just stretching. Trish's version of yoga looks much more interesting. Where do I sign up? I'm with Claire. Gogol Bordello's Start Wearing Purple is the best theme song for Kill.
Yeah! And it's just the best song in general.
I just thought, isn't Trish doing Krav Maga?
Krav Maga, yeah.
Yoga, so, yeah.
But she tells Jessica she's doing yoga, or I think, yeah, or Jessica thinks that she's doing yoga.
And I'm guessing we all agree that's where the bruises came from.
Yes.
She's doing really intense yoga.
Yeah, really intense yoga.
Well, is that really intense yoga where, you know, what's it called, hot yoga or whatever it's called, you know, where it's like really, really hot in the room and you do yoga and it's exhausting. And I know future guest and guest of my other podcast, Tammy, has done that yoga before and it sounds really hard. I'm never doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I do boxing instead. Because then you get to punch stuff. Yay! thanks, Dan, and congratulations on being the winner of our competition. If anyone didn't know who the winner was, now it's Dan. Sorry, Rebecca, I know you entered.
I'm cool.
So, and Dan's drawing, I am halfway through it, Dan, so I will be sending that to you hopefully in the next week or so, along with your other goodies.
We will probably have other contests.
Oh, we will totally have other contests. Absolutely. So, when we do Luke Cage, it will be yellow stuff from Lush, I guess. Who knows? So now it is time to play our voicemail, which is from Woo.
Can you turn that around?
Yay.
Thanks, Matt.
I love how vast the Marvel Universe has become, how many different types of stories can be told within this Marvel Universe. And I love how Jessica Jones has great difficulty empathizing with people or connecting with people on an emotional level. Because even most anti-heroes, even though they say they don't like people, can at least empathize with people on some level. Jessica Jones is more concerned with protecting them. And I love how annoyed she is. Kristen Ritter plays annoyed extremely well, especially with the introduction of the upstairs neighbors, or as I like to call them, the X-rated Maximoff twins. I love, one of my favorite shots in the entire series thus far is when the camera pulls back and Jessica Jones knows Ruben is in his underwear, but I love how the camera reveals Ruben just standing there in his tidy whities. And I love the casting of Wendy, just because I knew a lot of girls like this in high school who come off as hippies, but are just using that as a cover to cover up some really deep, deep insecurity they have with themselves. And obviously, looking at Wendy, some really weird, kinky Game of Thrones incest stuff going on. Just really stuff. Moving on. I really loved Luke Cage and his mistress in the bar in the morning. And I love how Luke Cage's mistress is like, "My marriage is ended. We don't even do oral anymore." On behalf of most people everywhere, we don't need to know the details of why your marriage is ended. Most guys don't even want to know the details. It doesn't make a difference to us. So you don't need to, like, let him know what you do or what you don't do. It doesn't matter to most guys. I'm so baffled that some people think if they know the details, it will make the situation better. My favorite action sequence in the episode has to be when Luke Cage is in the bar and he's just chucking the rugby guys away like it's nothing. He's not even, it doesn't even look like he's trying to push them away. He's like swatting them away like mosquitoes. I love the casting of Mike Coulter. I was very concerned, even more so with Luke Cage than even Daredevil, because they've been trying to cast Luke Cage, Marvel has, for a long time, and I think they finally found him with Mike Coulter. He is what Luke Cage would look like in the 21st century, and I'm looking forward to the Luke Cage series now, getting to see him in Jessica Jones. I give this episode 4 out of 5. Talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Woo.
Thanks, Woo.
Awesome. I think Mike Coulter is great, great casting. Even, like, from these two episodes, I think, like, I think he's really charismatic. I believe in, like, in his toughness, if that makes sense, during the bar fight. And I love his chemistry with Kristen Ritter. I don't know what you guys think.
I used the word perfect to describe him.
I think you said perfect several times when you were messaging me.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. For everything.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yes, I never really had an actor in mind when I pictured a live-action Luke Cage, but this guy fits.
I used to, like, if it was maybe like 10, 15 years ago, I would have loved it for it to have been Idris Elba. That's just because I love Idris Elba. I think as well, a lot of fans wanted, what's his name? The guy who's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is it Henry Simmons? I think.
Oh yeah, I love Mike Coulter. Yeah, the good one.
And also Henry Simmons is he's kind of the same age as Idris Elba, so not that that's super old, but for the series that they're doing, you need someone around the same age. So I think he'd be too old for the role that Marvel is doing, the version of Luke Cage. Okay, so now it's time to score this episode. Rebecca, do you want to go first?
I'm trying not to let my Luke Cage love get involved. I'm going to give it a solid 8.
You were very excited, actually, to have this episode, weren't you?
Yeah, because he angle grinds his ass. I was like, it was my first cheer.
You missed the show. My pun then? Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was the email.
You know. I was excited to go. Because, like, you know, because when you're picking random episodes, you always, it was exciting to get one that had Luke Cage.
Yeah, true.
So, and it was a good episode. I mean, like, I think the things that really stood out for me was just how evil Kilgrave comes over as.
Mm.
Like, because they've already set it up, but the whole kidney thing.
Mm.
And putting Jessica in that position of, like, the kill me. It's like, it just seems so much happened in this episode that when you kind of forget and you, like, focus in on these things. But a lot happens and she's got his weakness already and we're only in episode 2. And I think I was left a lot of this kind of, like, how are they going to do a full series? They're, like, rushing through this. But it was so exciting to see they weren't dragging it out. So, yeah, I really like it.
So you're going to give it an 8? Would you like to give it a random rating of anything? You could give it an 8 Luke Cage's abs out of 10 if you like.
Oh, 8 pizzas. I think.
8 pizzas. People may not know why my pizza is
fresh. Luke Cage, in the comics, almost exclusively eats pizza. Every time Danny Rand is suggesting they go out somewhere fancy because he's like a billionaire, Luke's like, we could always just go home and have pizza. And there's an entire page of one comic where he's teaching Danny how to eat pizza.
Aww.
The New York way. It's so ridiculous that there's one issue as well where they go down to Miami to help Colleen with something. And right at the end, like, Danny's like, oh, I wonder if they have pizza in Florida. Because he's kind of getting the vibe that it's going to be pizza or anything. So every time I see Luke Cage, I think pizza.
Is his cholesterol unbreakable as well?
I think he's pretty fit from all the fighting and running after bad guys. So, he could probably manage it.
Mm.
He would have to be, like, yeah, unbreakable cholesterol, ugh. Unbreakable arteries, cool, okay. Mel, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I'm hovering between 8.5 and 9.
Ooh.
I might go 8.5.
Okay.
8.5 out of 10, forcefully donated kidney.
Yeah.
Who's the person with 8 kidneys?
Well, that is the person that Purple Man wants to find.
that's why there's a whole bus full of people.
Yes. No, I'm just giving a 8.5 because there's a few more things in this episode that didn't make complete sense to me, I guess. But it was still a really good episode. I'm really enjoying the series.
Cool.
Yeah.
Matt, you can go next.
I will do the same, I think. 8.5. I liked it because there was, like, a little bit of a case that she was, you know... Well, I guess there was a case last time, too, you know. She was tracking somebody down both times, and that's enjoyable to watch.
Mm.
And we get some fighting, some superhero team-up. I'll give it... when I liked seeing the Purple Man do his thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
8.5 out of 10 water closets.
We both picked really creepy ratings.
You pair of creepers.
such creepers.
And I'm next. We'll have to get a rating from Robin next week. So I really enjoy this episode. Again, like I said last week, I still can't decide what is my favourite. Like, there's no episode that jumps out at me of the show where I'm like, oh, that's my favourite episode, you know? So it's kind of hard because... I'm like, well, I can't think of which one I love the most, although there is an episode later in the series which is a strong contender. I think Rebecca knows which one.
I think you know that probably is my favorite.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed it. There is a hell of a lot that happens in this. Because I remember when I was making my notes, I was looking and there wasn't that much time left of the episode. And then I was like, but we still got, you know, Luke to turn up and she chases the doctor. And I just forgot how much happens. So I think I'm going to give this one a 9 out of 10. And also because we get Trish in this one, I really like the relationship between her and Jess. We get Luke, and I love their relationship. And I love seeing Kilgrave do his stuff. So, yeah, 9 out of 10, squashed cockroaches and little purple cars. Maybe squashed cockroaches driving squashed purple cars.
I like that.
Cool.
Aw. I think my rating, I'm guessing that my rating will probably hover between 8 and 10 for this whole series. I'm predicting that just because I feel like if you say that it's pretty even, like, that's what I'm sensing as well from this show. That
that's
it's gonna be
what I feel generally, yeah, that it's, Yeah, there's not one that, like, I knew almost immediately I loved episode 2 of Daredevil. You know, it had so many of the things I loved, even though, which is weird because we had no Kingpin in episode 2. Mm. And obviously I love Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin. Yeah. But yeah, that was definitely my favorite episode all the way through, and it still is. But yeah, I don't know with this one, and I really don't think I would be able to decide until I've seen some of the later ones again, which is quite, it's interesting. I kind of like that, but, you know, we'll see. There's some stuff later in the series that I'm not as big a fan of, which isn't a spoiler, but yeah, I'm kind of excited to see what you guys think about it. Cool, so we'll have to wait to get Robin's score next week, and then we can do an average. But yeah, so it's a higher score, I think, than last week, if I remember, but I don't know, because I'm a rubbish host. So, this is where I will say thank you for guesting, Rebecca. Yay!
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, so awesome to have you on. And where could people follow you on the internet if they so wish?
Probably Twitter, Arbitrary Genius.
And you're on Twitter a lot.
I am on Twitter a lot. It's an addiction. and it's a mix of comics and things I read for work and stuff about my cats or baking.
But not baking your cat.
Bread. No, but there is some comics baking crossover, so, you know.
And you should as well tell us about what you did for Jessica Jones Day with baking.
Oh, I did a Purple Man cake. So I did a purple cake that was very nice with Jessica written on it. And some jewel-themed pop cake pops, what they call. My first ever cake pops, very exciting.
Nice.
They had the jewel costume colours, and then we had a Christmas dinner, which will become a lot funnier to you next week. But we had a Christmas dinner, and then we almost made pizza for dinner, but we were stuffed, so we didn't. And my sister brought Jim Beam, which is interesting because I don't drink, but I did have a drink with Jessica.
Oh, yeah, as I said to the guys last week, if we matched Jessica drink by drink, we would be dead.
I stopped drinking a long time ago, and if I'd really tried to have even a couple of drinks, it would have been, I would not have made it through the series. So I had a one, and felt that was good enough. But it was very nice. We had kind of like a big party. Even my husband took the day off his PhD to watch.
Awesome. And for Daredevil, you made a Daredevil cake.
I did make a Daredevil cake, and next year there'll be a Daredevil and a Punisher cake, which
is so awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Yeah, thanks for guesting, and I'm sure you'll be guesting for Luke Cage and Iron Fist as well, because you are the biggest fan in the world. Cool. So, Matt and Mel, have you got anything you wish to plug this week that you've been up to? Any wacky adventures?
I am on a video game podcast called Matt is Wrong About Games. We just put out episode 2. If you like video games, check us out.
Have you finished Fallout 4 yet?
No, I'll never finish that. I don't have hundreds of hours to spare. Also, What We Make, Terminator podcast, and Mel, go ahead with our other one.
I don't remember the name of it.
Hooplecast, a podcast about Deadwood, because I am a Hooplehead. I couldn't remember the name. Check the podcast out if you want to find out what a Hooplehead is.
Absolutely. And Twin Peaks podcast, which might come back at some point whenever they bring the series back.
Probably in like a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, we've waited 25 years. 2 years, you know, is nothing to wait.
Not a bad deal at all. No.
And I am still on Intro to X. We are on season 7 of The X-Files. This week was a bad one, but luckily I got to avoid talking about it. So, hooray for me. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, next week, we're going to make some predictions about next week's episode. Next week, we'll be covering episode 3, a.k.a. It's Called Whiskey.
She gets really drunk.
What does she do after getting really drunk, do you think?
Sex with Luke again.
Yeah.
Did you see his abs?
They're like, let's try this again. This time I'll try looking into your eyes.
Stay up all night drunkenly trying
drunking?
To... Drunking? Want them to drunk.
They stay up all night drunkenly trying to find different things to pierce his skin with. What about this? What about that?
Hey, that probably means he can't get piercings, though.
Oh,
he probably can't get a vaccine either.
Yeah. So he probably gets sick all the time.
Maybe he has an unbreakable immune system.
Maybe.
He's come up in the comics a few times. Mm. But he also has a reputation as a bit of a cape chaser, so now he knows Jessica's got powers.
He's a cape chaser? Does that
mean... like speak with superheroes?
That's like Daredevil. Daredevil's a cape chaser as well.
Oh, they all are. I mean, they all are. But he has a reputation, is it? Mm. All I say is now he knows Jessica's got powers, but I think he'd have slept with her anyway.
Him and Matt Murdock should go out on the pool. Together.
Yeah, what a wingman.
Well, it's like that famous drawing of them sitting in costume, Luke Cage and Daredevil sitting on the scaffolding together eating their lunch, which is adorable. And Daredevil's got a Spider-Man lunchbox.
That's adorable.
Really cute. Yeah. Aww. Cool. So any other predictions for AKA It's Called Whiskey?
Nope.
Maybe it's like a pet cat they have and it's called Whiskey, because my mom's cat used to be called Whiskey. Aww.
Maybe,
yeah, let's go with that.
Maybe she's going to change jobs and start writing a dictionary for different types of alcohol.
Mm, maybe.
It's going to be
and then someone will go, what's this one called? And she'll go, she'll wink at the audience and go, it's called whiskey.
That's right. Wink, wink, wink.
Cool. Well, that will be next week, guys. Until then, Rebecca, you need to take us out with an Excelsior.
Excelsior.
Yay! Oh, actually, Rebecca, I think you should take us out with a Sweet Christmas.
Sweet Christmas.
Yay.
Yay!
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can comment and send feedback to us by emailing defenderspod@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/defenderspodcast or on Twitter @defenderspod. Defenders Podcast is created under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 3.0 Unported International License. That means you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it. You can't change it, and you have to link back to us and our site. Excelsior!